Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ahoy, Mets fans. Welcome back to Amazing Avenue Audio, the show. My name is Brian. With me, as always, is Chris. And happy Bobby Bonilla Day, Chris. I know it's a holiday celebrated in your house every year.
Every year I go back and look for the excellent James K piece from way back when on Amazing Avenue, sort of mocking all the people who act like they discovered this news every year and fail to understand why teams make these kind of deals. And I think more recently it's become popular on Mets Twitter to highlight all the other players who also get deferred payments on this date every year.
Including Bobby Bonilla, who gets one from the Orioles as well. Or at least did. I believe that's now run out, but he did. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, no, just sort of this common practice in baseball, you know, that he's the face of. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a thing. I think it annoys me less than it did maybe like 3 or 4 years ago because I'm just like jaded with it. It's just I don't have the energy to be as annoyed with people for trying to make a big deal out of it.
I'll point to a piece written by your friend of mine, Ted Berg. He wrote for the Win, I believe, in 2015 or 16, which basically outlines how. I mean, it's one of the more concise outlines for how, A, it was a smart move then, B, it's a smart move now, and C, it indirectly led to David Wright being a Met. Because the money that was saved by deferring his contract was then put into the acquisition of It was Hampton, yeah. It was Hampton. And then Hampton signing with Colorado gave them a compensation pick, which was what they used to take David Wright. So, you know, all of that stems from the Bonilla deal in a roundabout way. So, you know, it's a fine deal. Don't be so mad at it, people. It's not your money. Second of all, who cares? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, and now it's really not your money. Like,
yes.
When under the Wilpons, it may have actually been your money. Now it's really not.
Yes, your ticket, like 1/1000th of your ticket cost might have gone to paying Bobby Bonilla every year, but Yes, agreed. It is funny that yesterday the Mets tweeted out like big announcement on Bobby Bode, and a lot of people were convinced they were going to buy out his contract or something, and it's an Airbnb promotion.
Yes, we'll leave it to the successful businessman to find a sponsor.
Yes, exactly.
For this, you know, that is he sort of hinted at he alluded to. I don't know why I said both of those things, but he brought up early on after taking over the team that, like, let's make a big thing out of it and celebrate it and whatever. And then Mr. Moneyman found somebody else to sponsor it and got Bobby Bonilla to agree to talk for 2 minutes. And, you know, there you go. Yes. Airbnb is paying for part of it. So on top of ultra billionaire Steve Cohen owning the team, you know, it's there's even more to offset the expenditure.
Yes. And let me just state for the record, Bobby, we'd love to have you on the podcast. I know you're a listener. We'd love to have you on the podcast. Just hit us up at Brian Needs a Nap on Twitter. All right. So anyway, let's move off of the Bobby Bonilla Day celebrations. I'm sure you're having a party later today. You have to get prepped for. So let's get through the podcast. We can resume our Bobby Bonilla Day celebrations. All right. So it's been a bit of a weird week for the Mets since we last spoke. The Mets seem like a team right now, and maybe this is oversimplifying this, but it seems like the Mets are a team that, you know, is still in first place and still has a lead in the division, but it just seems to me like the Mets are playing like a team that is fighting for a spot in the postseason rather than a team that is sort of, I don't want to say comfortably in that spot, because I wouldn't characterize it that. But they're not playing like a first-place team, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I'm not panicking. You know, we talked last week about how, you know, we're not in Panic City. We are just in the, I believe we dubbed it the slightly concerned suburbs. But, you know, that there are some pieces for the Mets that aren't working right now. One of those is obviously the starting pitching outside of the top three of DeGrom, Walker, and Stroman. Last night was a really, really bad night for the Mets. We saw David Peterson leave the game with injury, and while Peterson has not been lighting the world on fire, his last few starts have been pretty good, and he's looked like at least a solid back end of the rotation starter. Luis Rojas called the injury concerning. That's the most we've heard about it. It was right side tightness. We don't know how serious it is overall. But, you know, the Mets, they took 2 of 4 from the Phillies. They lost to the Nationals on Monday. They've so far split the series with the Braves. They're hanging in there, but it feels like something needs to be done. And so, Chris, how necessary do you think the Mets... How necessary is a move for the Mets, and how many moves do you think that they are realistically needing to make this month to put themselves in the best place for the rest of the season?
Well, I'd say a bare minimum, a reliever and a starter. And we'll delve into some of those potential options, but yeah. That's the bare minimum. The lineup, I know now it's July officially, and I know it's a little weird maybe to still say this, but like they're better hitters than this. And the counter argument to that is like, well, are they? Maybe they're not. It's odd that they're this deep into the season with this many hitters who have good track records, and they're still... I forget as of this morning whether they're last or second to last in runs scored per game. I would still expect that to correct itself. I still think Michael Conforto and Jeff McNeil and Francisco Lindor and I don't know, several other guys probably who I'm not remembering off the top of my head are better hitters than what they've shown. I think Dom Smith is better than what he's shown this year. So I do think that'll come around. I wouldn't let that rule out trading for a position player. It would be nice if the Cubs were really bad and motivated to trade Chris Bryant, but they're not. They're in a position that I highly doubt they'll trade anyone away unless the next few weeks go very poorly. I wouldn't refuse help. They've still got Albert Almora Jr. on the major league roster. Brandon Nimmo took another break in his rehab. I don't know the next game he's going to play. Nimmo and JD Davis have sort of perpetually been about to come back, but they haven't actually come back. So there's room on the roster for that position player or two if they're out there. But it's just not what I'm focused on right now, because right now the Mets have 60% of a rotation. And look, Tylor McGill, as Howie Rose has emphasized the correct pronunciation, if not complained about having to make the correct pronunciation, but Tylor McGill he's done something out there. You know, he hasn't like had the Matt Harvey debut or anything like that, but he's at least gotten us all thinking, I think, that, you know, hey, it's interesting. Maybe he can stick. Maybe he can help out where, I saw him in Binghamton a couple months ago.
Right.
That's crazy. He's a guy who our minors crew had mentioned as like another player of note, somebody who might be worth watching, somebody who might be able to help the Mets in the bullpen, not necessarily even this year. He wasn't on the Amazing Avenue top 25 prospects list. But here he is. He's done a little bit at the major league level to go like, oh, all right. Maybe he's a guy. Maybe he can fill in and give you something. That shouldn't be plan A, but I don't know. They need a pitcher, at least. I'd say they need one in the short term. And then by the end of the month, they need to figure out if they need another one.
I mean, I would just go for two, personally.
Right.
For a couple of reasons. You know, first of all, we don't know when Carrasco's coming back. We don't know when Syndergaard's coming back. If one of those guys gets healthy and comes back, McGill can easily shuffle off to the minors.
Yep.
No problem there. If Peterson's injury is not serious and one of those guys gets healthy, Peterson can work out of the bullpen, or they can go to a six-man rotation for a little while, or, you know, keeping DeGrom. Maybe you keep the three top guys on regular rest and you throw an extra guy in there every now and then, or you piggyback some guys. You make one of them into a long reliever. There's lots of options there. I would like to see them target two starters. I think if they target starting pitching, the bullpen will improve as well, because, I mean, look, we should be honest here. We have been big Sean Reed Foley fans, but he's looked pretty bad lately, last night he was among the many who looked bad. I don't want to necessarily just target Sean Reed Foley for last night, because last night was a rough night for the Mets. But, you know, part of the reason that Reed Foley looked a little bit rough was because he had to come in the middle of a game because of an injury. Part of the reason that he's looked rough overall is because he's had to pitch more innings than he probably should, because the Mets don't have the starting depth that we all thought they'd have. And that is not, this is not me necessarily shitting on the Mets process, because the Mets did add a lot of depth this year. It's just been a particularly bad year in terms of injuries. And the one big thing, I don't think enough people are talking about this. I don't know if Jordan Yamamoto's injury really warranted a jump to the 60-day IL, or that was done for just roster manipulation reasons, but I feel like he'd be very useful right now, but he's unavailable. But looking at the box score, I turned the game off last night when it was, I believe, 14-2, something like that, and after the fifth inning. And, I mean, the fact that they lost that they lost 20-2. And granted, a big part of that was Thomas Zupacki in his first major league start basically being asked to just be a mop-up man and giving up 6 runs. We got Albert Almora Jr. pitching a full inning, giving up a home run and 3 earned runs. You know, it was a rough, rough night. But those nights happen for teams. The problem is these nights have happened more for the Mets over the last month and a half than it should have. Players leaving the game early, whether it's DeGrom or Stroman or the bullpen games that have had to happen, or, you know, expecting Jared Eichhoff to be a short-term solution. So I think they need to go after 2 starting pitchers. I feel more strongly about them going after 2 starters than I do about them going after a starter and a reliever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. And I think one other thing with Peterson, too, is he like McGill, can just be optioned to Syracuse. I know he made a good first impression during the short season last year, and anybody stepping into that situation and having some success, I get why people latch onto that. But all winter coming into the season, I thought he shouldn't be in the top 5 rotation spots. You know, I don't know if the Mets wind up with Taijuan Walker if Carrasco wasn't delayed in February and like they felt like they had to do something after coming close to signing Trevor Bauer, who, you know, I think it's worth mentioning, is being accused of a lot of really terrible things right now. And you know, the Athletic piece about that, if it has a lot of details of those things.
It's a tough read.
Right, it is. It is. But despite knowing the type of guy he seemed like he was, the Mets were going after him pretty hard. Thought they were going to sign him, and then Walker happened after that. So I don't know if they wind up with one of the better pitchers in baseball on a really team friendly deal, if not for those events. And you know, Peterson was kind of always in a rotation spot. You know, there was never a moment where they said, "Oh, we got Carrasco, we've got, you know, DeGrom, Carrasco, Stroman. We think Syndergaard will be back. You know, and then we're going to get somebody else and bump Peterson out." You know, I guess there's a potential scenario there where they get everybody they want, and Peterson starts the year in the minors. But realistically, there was no point in time where you went like, "Oh, Peterson's out of a rotation spot." And I think it's not unfair to say, you know what, if he pitches in Syracuse a little bit more, and then he's the guy who comes up when you need those spot starts, or when a guy is injured for a start or two or more, that wouldn't be the end of the world. You know, so
yeah,
we'll see if he's hurt. Then they have 3 actual major league starting pitchers with several in limbo. And you just need 5. I mean, honestly, as this season goes on, you might need 6. I don't think anybody's hit a wall yet, but they didn't play a full season last year, not even close. So if some pitchers start to struggle as this season goes on, I think a lot of there's that potential that with MLB's emphasis on the sticky stuff, that people will start to wonder and point fingers and all that kind of thing. But I do think it's worth remembering that coming into this season, it would be perfectly reasonable for everybody to get kind of tired and play like crap in July and August.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh? Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But I wouldn't count on, in support of your desire for two starting pitchers, like, right away. I wouldn't count on an inning from Syndergaard or Carrasco this year. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope they both get back out there. I think they're both very talented pitchers. And it would be fun to see them play as Mets. But yeah, no, you gotta get there. And this patchwork thing has worked very, very well for like a while now. But I think we're starting to see, you know, maybe a few leaks in the ship.
So let's talk about how we would plug those leaks. So we'll do this for a couple of weeks, maybe, if the Mets don't make a move. But we have each identified two teams that we think maybe have a pitcher or two that would make sense for the Mets. We want to, first off, put out the bat here, we are not good trade makers, or at least I'm not a good trade maker, so I don't have a... Oh, you obviously trade this player for this guy. I'm just identifying players that I think may be available and would likely be in the Mets, maybe in a price range that wouldn't be considered blockbuster or huge deals. People who are just going to would help maybe fill out the rotation and give them some decent starts. So, Chris, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first with our first team?
Sure. Yeah, I'll lead off here. I'll start small though. The Pirates are terrible. This is not a sexy trade target by any means, but you know, we're just kind of looking at teams that are definitely out of it, and ideally, I mean, look, if the Mets can make a move for somebody who's under team control for a long time, we're not going to rule them out, and we might touch on some of those guys as we do this. But the logical thing, or the most logical thing, or the easiest thing for a team that doesn't have a ton of prospect stock from which to trade would be finding guys who are on deals that expire either this year or soon, making them just easier to get. So the Pirates have Tyler Anderson. He's 31 years old. He's been around for a little bit. He's a former Rocky. And that's the other team I'm going to talk about in a couple minutes here.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah. But look, he's not spectacular. He has a 4.75 ERA right now this year. He had a 4.37 in the short season last year. 4.67 for his career. Aside from a short 2019 campaign, that's basically who the dude is. You know, capable but not great major league starting pitcher. He signed a 1-year, $2.5 million deal with the Pirates. So, like, that's the only part of it that they can go, like, oh, he's basically free, you know, which team wants him the most. But I also don't think there's going to be, like, a hot Tyler Anderson market. But what I like, despite... You know, okay, the ERA is close to 5. The Mets are having a hard time scoring runs. It can be easy to, like, look at that and go, like, well, how is he going to help? But the dude averages almost 6 innings per start. He hasn't been the most durable in terms of, you know, pitching complete seasons. He's only been over 100 innings twice in his major league career. But I don't know. If he would cost almost nothing, he's definitely somebody who you can slot in there and gives you a chance to win. Is less prone, I think, to the Steven Matz effect or the David Peterson effect of the occasional 1/3 of an inning start, where you just give a little more stability to your bullpen, which I don't want to say has been exposed, but it's just starting to show a little bit of, like, between injuries and performance, that magic okay, somebody only went, you know, one inning or less. That's okay. These three guys are going to come in and be perfect. You know, that wasn't going to sustain itself forever, as much as it was fun to think about it. But Tyler Anderson, and look, he's pitching for a bad team. Maybe that factors into it, but he's gone five innings or more in every start he's made this year. He had one truly terrible start in which he gave up nine runs. Another one where he gave up six. That's not great. But I don't know. Most times he's going out there, he's sticking around long enough that you can kind of figure out where the game is. And he gives you a chance to win. So I'd have to imagine he wouldn't cost much. The Pirates are not exactly known for getting great returns in trades. And he's, you know, he is not a marquee name. So that's my Pirates dude. Everybody else there has either been terrible, or the one pitcher who's been better, Brubacher, is like under team control forever. So,
right.
You know, they don't like to pay anybody. I highly doubt they would give that up.
So I have two guys I want to target on the Twins. The Twins are out of it. They are not very good this year. And I think both of these players are interesting options for the Mets. And I also think they are players who would be relatively easy for the Twins to part with. The first one is Michael Pineda. He's currently on the 10-day IL. It does not seem like his injury is very serious, so I think that this is a worthwhile person to discuss. You know, Pineda had great success for the Yankees. Maybe not great success. Good success for the Yankees. Has been with the Twins for a couple years now. Has never really reclaimed the hype that he had as a Yankee. He is a free agent after this season. And, you know, he's been all right this year. You know, he has certainly not been setting the world on fire by any stretch. But, you know, he has pitched, let's see, 56 innings. He is averaging about 8 strikeouts per 9, which is right about where his career average is. About 2.5 walks per 9. You know, one home run per 9. Nothing super sexy, but, you know, a sort of serviceable pitcher. He currently has an ERA plus of 112, so a little bit better than league average. He seems to be going about, it's averaging about 5 innings a start. In June, he did less than that. He averaged, he went 3, 4.1, and 4 before hitting the IL. Hopefully, when he comes back from the IL, he will be able to give a little bit more depth, because depth is one of the things the Mets desperately need. But, you know, I think Pineda would basically be a just back into the rotation filler guy. Again, I don't think the Twins are going to want too much for him. And you never know, maybe coming back to New York would spark something in him, although I don't really believe that stuff happens all that often. But, you know, you never know. The other option is Kenta Maeda, who is still under the initial contract he signed with the Dodgers. So he's only making $3.5 million per year, and he has two more years of team control after this year. So that makes him a little bit less likely to be traded. However, he has not been effective this year. You know, every year before now, he has had an ERA of under 4.2, and he's up at almost 6 right now. He has, you know, his walk rate is up from where it normally is a little bit. His strikeout rate is down a little bit from where he normally is. But, you know, again, I don't think the Twins necessarily see Kenta Maeda as a long-term piece for them. And if they do, then they're obviously not going to trade him. But I think at this point in his career, he's probably considered pretty expendable. And he's a solid, durable starting pitcher for the Mets.
I thought you were going to say soluble.
No, not soluble. No, I just have bad diction.
Don't get him
today.
Wet.
No, he's like a gremlin. Don't get him wet. but yeah, I mean, I think either of those guys would be an improvement over the Jared Eichhoffs of the world. And, you know, if McGill can be your number four temporarily, I'm fine with one of those guys as your number four, number five.
Yeah, and I think it's the Pineda. It's worth noting too that he's making $10 million this year. Again, these teams that are that like to frame themselves as small or medium market despite all the money in baseball right now, and all that, they could be inclined to just dump that salary.
Yes, absolutely, because it's a it's a relatively minor thing for the Mets to pick up $5 million, even if it should be relatively minor for any team to do that. All right, who is your next? You said your next team is the Rockies, correct?
Yeah, so the Rockies are also terrible, and it's weird to turn to the Rockies for pitching help, but I know Herman Marquez sort of caught a lot of attention because he just had an outstanding start the other night. He's only 26. He's posted sub-4 ERAs in two of the last three seasons. I mean, one of them was the short season, but still, and he's at 3.62 right now. When you're doing that stuff and have even a decent strikeout rate and a decent ERA and you're pitching your home games at Coors Field, that should say something. I do think the Coors Field effect sometimes gets a little overstated in terms of what a guy truly is. I think we saw it on the hitting side when Matt Holliday was a player the Mets were considering and got, traded to St. Louis. We're seeing it again now. Nolan Arenado traded to St. Louis. Or I forget if Holliday was a trade or free agent, but either way, both former Rockies, go to the Cardinals and have maintained that they were pretty good hitters. So on the pitching side of things, I don't think taking the guy out of Coors is going to be like, oh, wow, he's like,
he's Nolan Ryan now. Co-ace
with Jacob DeGrom now.
Yeah.
But I do think it's still fairly impressive that he's put up this kind of track record there. In his case, Marquez, that is, he's on a very team-friendly contract that is guaranteed through 2023 with a team option for 2024. The Rockies are weird. I don't know. Like, there's no outcome on this trade market that would surprise me. This is the team that just sent Arenado to the Cardinals and covered $50 million of his salary, despite him being like still in his prime and a great player. And presumably they could have traded him without having to do that. So look, maybe you can fleece the Rockies with him, and that would be great. That would be fun, but the cost might be a little bit higher. And then the other dude is John Gray, who is set to hit free agency after this season. He's 29. He had that highly touted prospect status. He's got a bit more major league experience overall. Not that much by innings. Just looks like he's been around longer. Okay, so scratch that. But he's, he's a guy who's had some seasons where his ERA was pretty ugly. 2019, though, was solid. Again, like Marquez, had a sub-4 ERA. And right now he's at a 3.89. He got off to a really hot start this year, and I feel like that's happened once or twice, that he's been like really, really strong in April, yep, May, and then sort of faded as the season's gone on.
I have traded for him in fantasy teams in April and May before, so yes.
So I know that might not be the most ringing endorsement of a guy that we're saying, like, go get him for the second half. But again, there's enough there that I think he's definitely better than a bullpen game. And there's enough talent there that you could run into another streak. Sort of like what the Mets have done with Taiwan Walker. I don't know if they have necessarily changed anything really, other than they just kind of got him when he was fully recovered and healthy after missing quite a bit of time with Tommy John. That circumstance is different, but you're taking somebody who's always been praised for the level of talent they have, getting them into your rotation, and then sort of reaping the benefits of just a good run. So Gray would be he'd be fun in that regard, even if he was just a rental.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I got one guy on the Kansas City Royals, another terrible team this year, and that guy is Danny Duffy. Now, a couple of caveats here. He's the most expensive player we've talked about so far. He is making $15.5 million this year. This is the last year of his contract. He is a lifer on the Royals, and Royals fans seem to be the kind of folks who appreciate that sort of thing. So maybe the team would be less likely to trade him. But I think in the last year of a contract, when he's making that much money, if somebody wants Danny Duffy, they're going to be able to get him. The concerning thing is that he was hurt for a spell. He missed about a month, 5 weeks, from May 12th to June 23rd. And since he came back, he has only pitched 6 and a third innings of baseball. However, before then, he did not make a start in which he went less than five innings. His ERA plus for the season is, I just had this and I scrolled away. You know, he is at a 189 ERA plus for the season, which seems very high for a guy of Danny Duffy's sort of historical talent. You know, he's a 2.4 ERA this season. Just seems, you know, strange, but you know, his strikeout rate is a little bit up, his walk rate's a little bit down. You know, those are sort of where I tend to look numbers wise. I feel like those give a good sense for how he's pitching overall, and so you know, those are the right things you want to see. It's odd when a guy at 32 is doing this, but you know, I think if the Mets can make this move, he's the guy I probably have the most confidence in to give them perfectly cromulent starts of everyone we've talked about, just because he's durable. You know, he's a guy, he's pitched, aside from an early career injury or just early career, he only pitched about 25 innings in 2012 and 2013. Since then, he has pitched at least 140 innings, not counting the 130 innings, not counting the weird half season last year. He's already pitched 48 innings this season, and so I just think he's a guy that if this is a special season for him, maybe you're getting a special player. If he just had a good first half of the year and he reverts back to what he is, I think you can count on what he is to be who he's always been, a guy with a 4 ERA striking out 8 or so folks per 9 innings. We didn't say they'd be sexy names, right? We never said that these would be exciting names that would get everybody amped up. But if you have the carrot of Carrasco and Syndergaard potentially coming later in the season, I wouldn't make that big blockbuster move, especially because the Mets don't have the minor league depth to trade those to trade the type of players who the Mets would need to trade to bring home a blockbuster. You know, when Chris and I were talking before the show, I mentioned how much I like Zach Gallen in Arizona, but it would take a lot to get Zach Gallen. And I don't think the Mets have the pieces to do that without seriously disrupting either their farm system or their major league club. So I guess next week, if the Mets find themselves in a similar position, we'll go through another couple of teams and pick out some players until they actually do something. So, anything else to say about the last six games or so from the Mets, Chris?
I know they haven't been the most exciting, but they've been fine. It would just be a lot of fun if starting with Jacob deGrom tonight, and then the Subway Series, and then they finish out before the break with the Pirates, correct? Am I missing a series in between?
You're missing the Brewers in between, yes.
Ah, okay. Well, never mind. Just win a few games over the next few days. You know, get everybody feeling good again. I don't know. It's just not that. They're not in that bad of a position, I think. In some ways, that gigantic loss last night can be a little cleansing because it's just ridiculous. You know, I wrote in the recap that Almora, I think he didn't want to like show up the three actual pitchers. So he decided, let me just give up a few runs to stay on brand with this game and not make these guys feel bad. Those games happen sometimes. you know, so you just move on. And what better way to start fresh after that than Jacob deGrom? So, yeah, that's all. Just some mild optimism going forward.
I think that's fair. You know, they still do have a two-game lead over the Nationals, who have been incredibly hot lately, but still seem like a dog shit team to me. So I think that will fade soon. But
yeah, no, I'd be much more concerned about the Braves kind of finding themselves than anything else right now. I don't think the Nationals are actually good. The Marlins are clearly actually bad, and I don't think the Phillies are good either. Like to me, the Braves are the one team that you want to win this series and keep that distance between you and them.
Agreed. All right, Chris, we were both tossing up music picks before the show. Have you figured out what your music pick is going to be?
Yes, I am. I am going with something that's appropriate as my alternate to my original idea. But it was really hot out recently. You know, summer is always a good time to listen to this record. Really hot weather and being outdoors, I think, is an even better time to listen to it for me. It's a bit of a safe pick, as is referenced in the title of the album. Safe as Milk, Captain Beefheart. Probably the most accessible Beefheart record, although there are a few others that are close in terms of accessibility. His challenging stuff is great because it, you know, is challenging in a good way. Still really good music, but Safe as Milk is just sort of like, you throw it on and it's hard not to be in a good mood pretty much throughout the record. There's a few songs on here that have been covered. I think probably most famously Grown So Ugly, covered by the Black Keys. I think Sonic Youth covered Electricity. You know, there's just some good stuff from start to finish. I'm not doing it any justice with this description, but but Captain Beefheart was outstanding. And one of my proudest little things that we did at the wedding, we had a dish that was served that was Beefheart, and I made sure that a Captain Beefheart song played during dinner because I don't know if anybody there were people there who definitely know the music and probably ate the food, but I don't know if anybody there made that connection.
Right.
But in my mind, it had to happen. So that's my Beefheart rec. Safe as Milk came out in 1967. If for some reason you have not listened to it yet, go do that right now.
I have the rare pleasure in life that I actually have met and corresponded with a former Magic Band member a number of times. Later than that, he was part of the last era of the Magic Band. His name is Eric Drew Feldman. He also played with The Residents and Frank Black and PJ Harvey. He's a very, very cool dude. And if you ever happen to meet him, another, if you meet Eric Feldman, just ask him, tell me a Beefheart story. You will not be disappointed. He has amazing Beefheart stories.
Awesome.
So you kind of inspired me here to pick an album that feels like an outdoor hot weather album. So there's a band, they are from my neck of the woods in New Jersey. They are specifically from my home county of New Jersey, Bergen County, where I grew up. I do not live there anymore, but I will always be Bergen County in my blood. And the band is called Real Estate. They are sort of a jangly pop band from Ridgewood, New Jersey. And their first couple of albums to me seem very autumnal. They just felt like albums you'd put on in the fall. But in 2017, they released an album called In Mind. And for some reason, this just sounds like humidity to me. I don't know. I think sometimes our brains do this to us, where we hear something and maybe it's the time we hear it or just the mood we're in. It instantly sort of gets like locked into your mind that way. And for some reason, this album to me very much sounds like a humid, hot summer day. This is the first record they have with their guitarist, Julian Lynch, who joined shortly before this. Julian Lynch is another great solo artist. I actually really, really enjoy Julian's work. And Julian actually appeared on a compilation with Chris and I that I released last summer on my record label. So, In Mind by Real Estate, specifically the song Two Arrows, really sounds like hot summer heat to me. And, That is my music pick. So anyway, thank you all for listening. We, as always, truly appreciate it. Please go to AmazonAvenue.com for all of your Mets needs. You can, if you're really a sadist, you could go and read Chris's recap of the 20-2 loss last night. But hopefully you have something better to do with your time. And that's no offense to Chris's writing. It's just, why would you want to revisit that?
I didn't write much about the game. I wish I had gotten even more like crazy and experimental with it because, you know, who wants to read it? But yeah, I think
I remember
it's not as painful as watching the game.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I remember back in the day when Eric was running the site, I had lobbied for just having my recap be shit sandwich, which is a Spinal Tap reference, and he would not allow it. So it was a game like last night's game, and there was nothing good to say, and I was just gonna write shit sandwich. That was the Spinal Tap review for Shark Sandwich. For those that aren't aware of This Is Spinal Tap in the way that I am. So anyway, again, thank you for listening to AmazonAvenue.com. Amazing Avenue is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. This podcast is on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Find it there. Rate, review, and subscribe to it, please. We appreciate that. Chris is on Twitter at Chris McShane. I am at Brian Itzenapp. And until next time, let's go, man.